From the good life in Lincoln, Nebraska, this is the Stop Chasing, Start Living show, where together we dig into the world of faith and finances to discover how God wants so much more for us than we could ever ask or imagine. I'm your host, Scott Ernstmeyer, so let's start living. I'd like to welcome everybody back to the Stop Chasing, Start Living podcast. My name is Scott Ernstmeyer. I have the joy and privilege of serving as your host for this show. If you were with us last time, I had a chance to sit down with Matt Blankenbiller, my good buddy, talk about men's discipleship, the impact that a changed heart for a man can have not only in his life, but the life of his family and the life of the church. And the show, again, is about faith and finances and really talking about life, and today we really get into that topic. I'm super excited to dig into this concept of life coaching and what it really looks like to have meaningful and authentic conversations around perspective and making sure you've got a good view on where you might be being pulled to in life and where God's taking you. And so my guest today is Misty Rauscher, and I'm super excited to have her with me on the show today. She's lives in Colorado, so I just happened to be able to connect with her while she was back in the area visiting family. And Misty was a junior at Lincoln Lutheran when I first started teaching, which seems like just yesterday, but is almost 30 years ago now. I think we bonded over our love of sarcasm. What I remember of Misty as a high school student is she had this really dry sense of humor that could just, she could get me. It was fun. And just really enjoyed getting to watch her grow up over the years and get into the world of being a mom and wife. And had a chance to go to your wedding way back when. We're talking about that's been a couple days ago too. Mm-hmm. But I've just really appreciated seeing what God has done through her life professionally over the years. And I'll let her kind of tell a little bit more about where God has taken her in that path. But, it's just been fun watching your kids grow up. And we just talked about the fact that you're getting some in college mm-hmm. now. So life's getting real as a mom. And So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Love for you to share a little bit with our listeners just about your background, your family, and maybe about yourself professionally.
Okay. Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah.
This is really fun. We're here seeing my husband's family, so we're close by. I started off, I was in Lincoln Lutheran when Scott came, and I always give him jabs about this, but he came to work in his I'm a new husband t-shirt. Remember that?
I don't know if I do.
It was the shirt that you guys just wore for your anniversary.
Established. Yeah.
What year did you guys get
1997.
Married?
1997. Yep.
So that's how he came to work. So it's hard to take you seriously from that moment
on. I can appreciate that.
Yeah. So after high school, I went to Concordia in Seward for a couple of years. And then me and David, my high school boyfriend, we ended up getting married and then moving out to the Denver area to finish our bachelor's. So that's how we ended up in Colorado. Mm. And then we continued to have kids. We had five kids together, and the two oldest are in college now. And during that time, I was trying to find jobs that I could do where I could be a stay-at-home mom and make some money. So I started off as a Medicaid case manager, okay. where I worked from home doing pay source changes with nursing homes. So I'd go into the nursing home, talk to the residents there, make sure that they really qualified for Medicaid, and I would do that on the weekends. Mm. And then that led into me working at a gym. So I was the front desk person, and that kind of took me through three pregnancies.
Wow.
Yeah, that was fun because I got my free membership.
Yeah.
Got a workout, talked to the people there, was close by. I just think back to that though. I was making $7.50 an hour.
does give some perspective.
And now my kids complain when they make $20 an hour. This is nothing. I'm like, what? $7.50 as a grown person with a bachelor's. And then after that, I was starting to realize me and David just needed more money and $7.50 an hour wasn't doing it. So I had this idea one day, I'm going to become a labor doula. And I had really good unmedicated experiences having Lily and Emery. So I was I can help other people have babies. So I went and got my certification in that and started doing that. I did that for 15 years,
wow.
helping, hundreds of people have their baby. Most people would opt to do it unmedicated or at a birth center or at home. And so that was so nice because it was a way that I could make money and it wasn't a traditional job. So I would do prenatals with couples at night after David got home. I had an on-call babysitter for the kids, and we were homeschooling at the time. So it was really easy for me to take the whole unit of kids and move them to a babysitter. And then she was just always on call for me and then pick them up when I was done. So that led into around the year 2020 when the pandemic was happening and, you know, doulas were not allowed in the hospital anymore. And that just shut down because I was also doing placenta encapsulation, which people will now Google that. And all of that stopped. My entire income stopped. So I had to, you know, rework this. Yeah. And what I had been noticing and God had already planted in my heart leading up to that is I was getting tired of births. I was just getting really worn out. And my kids were getting older and it wasn't as easy as it was to just kind of move everybody. They had extracurriculars. And by that time they were in school, at a traditional school. So, what I noticed is I loved sitting down with couples and helping them think forward about after they have their kid, like what kind of family did they want to create and what was important to them and what were they bringing from their childhood that maybe they needed to look at. And so that really lit me up inside. So I kind of got another idea. I was like, well, I'll just become a life coach, which I was thinking, who does that? Who just like decides they're going to be something, but that's what I did. And I just moved that direction in 2020, in the middle of 2020. And I've been life coaching ever since.
Oh, that's awesome. And that we're going to totally get into that part of what you do, because I think it's fascinating. And maybe before we get there, would love to kind of hear, you know, you talked about the life experiences you bring into a marriage and what that means for building a family. And I love hearing people's story around money, not only kind of what it was like for you growing up in terms of how you interacted with money, but then as you get into marriage, like how do you create your philosophies around money and generosity and what that looked like for you and David as you guys kind of stepped into marriage together?
Well, you know, I really credit my parents to start because they taught us really early. Like we would go out and make a dollar. And then they would say, okay, you give 10% to God, and then you give some to savings, and what you have left is your spend money. Mm-hmm. And they had these little, like, if you guys remember the Mary Kay jars of like makeup, those little pink ones. Okay. So they would have them up in the closet and have our names on it. We would get it down. We would put our 10 cents into, you know, tithe, and we put the rest, you know, savings and spend.
Yeah.
And so that has stuck with me. Like I've always been a tither.
Yeah.
Then at some point when I was a teenager, my parents really encouraged me, like, you have enough tithe. Why don't you sponsor, you know, a child in another country?
Oh, wow.
So I think I had two that I was sponsoring as a teenager. And then, you know, when me and David got married, he had grown up in a family that also tithed. So that wasn't really anything that we had to agree about or talk through. That was just something that we continued on, even though we got married when we were 20. We were paying for college for two people.
Right.
And we just continued to tithe. It wasn't an option. We didn't revisit it.
That's pretty awesome. And I think there's such a blessing when there can be kind of that level playing field, because that can be a hard thing to reset when one person's coming from one perspective and another person's coming from either no experience or a completely different philosophy to, cause money tends to create tension for people. And that can really get in the way of kind of feeling almost like you're even healthy with your spending habits, or healthy in terms of making those decisions around a budget and those kinds of things as well. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm interested in, you know, I would guess some of our listeners, maybe many of our listeners, have no idea what a life coach is or what a life coach does. And I would love for you to just kind of walk through what it is, what it isn't from your perspective. And maybe even a little bit about the types of people you find yourself connecting with, like what kind of needs are you helping people through in that world of life coaching?
Yeah, so life coaching is really cool. And I know that there is kind of a connotation with the word life coach. Like there's kind of a negative thing of like, you know, only, you know, needy people need a life coach. And what I've really found is like people who have a growth mindset really are the people that decide to hire a life coach. They're the ones who have kind of like hit the mark of like normal living. And they're like, I want to take my life to the next level. And so what it isn't though that I've noticed is it's just really not therapy. And there really is a difference. You know, therapy is more directed towards kind of figuring out like life experiences and why they happened. And, you know, maybe mental health diagnoses, where coaching is, again, that growth mindset of like, I've hit this mark in life. Like, what else can I do with my life? How can I make more of an impact in the world?
So you're really getting a chance to dig in with people. And as they start dreaming about, you know, essentially that question of why did God put me here, discovering and then really working towards a process where they can fully be who God has called them to be.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think God always calls us up higher. Like mm-hmm. we can keep doing more with our lives. And these people are really like, okay, like what can I do now?
So I maybe this is the wrong term. I have probably used the term perspective. I think I said it early in the show. I know for myself, I find great value in learning, hearing other people's perspective on what I think I'm thinking, if that mm-hmm. makes sense. So the word perspective, that perspective for me comes to mind, I think, of life coaching, because you're only as good as your own internal personal conversations, and really having the chance to have someone else speak some truth and ask some maybe hard questions that you hadn't asked of yourself. What does that interaction look like in the world of life coaching?
You know, that's a really good point. It is really about perspective, because we as humans, we think a thought and we think it so many times it becomes a belief, mm-hmm. and then our own brain doesn't challenge that belief. And so we just think it's true. So as a life coach, I can come in and just ask questions that help kind of like undo the grasp of that mm-hmm. thought and that belief that makes people consider maybe in a different light.
That's awesome. And when you think about the maybe some of the cooler wins that you've had as a life coach, are there any examples that would really maybe be a good way for the listeners to understand how you take somebody from like where they're at when they first interact with you to where you feel like you've either broken through or they're on such a great path that you maybe even have launched them? I'm guessing some people from a life coach perspective, they want to keep that rhythm going because they see the growth and they keep having a higher ceiling they want to hit. But what does that look like to go from the start with you? Like what is a great win or a victory?
You know, the one win that I just love talking about is this mom that came to me who she and her teenage daughter just did not have a good relationship and they didn't communicate well together. And it was just really putting a strain on their family. And through coaching the mom, she was able to have a different perspective about her daughter mm-hmm. and just like open up and be able to talk to her daughter from a more curious place instead of like the I have only opinions as a mother. Mm-hmm. And that one, like they have gone on 2 international trips now together since that time where wow. they love traveling together and they love being together. And that one just really is important to me because I think our relationship with our parents is really important. Mm-hmm.
And I would guess as a mom of daughters that mm-hmm. you can almost feel like what you want the most for even that relationship you have with them, like being able to share that with others and let them discover what that can really look like.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I think, goals, I kind of sense that goals is somewhat a part of this, being able to not only dream a goal, but maybe fine tune that goal or think and dream big enough in terms of the goal. Cause sometimes I think we can step just far enough and it's like baby steps as opposed to now, come on, are you really stretching yourself with that? And we actually, the theme we have this year across the board here at Messiah comes from Ephesians 3:20-21, where it talks about God being able to do so much more than we could ever ask or imagine. What is it like for you to dream on behalf of your clients, the people you work with? Because sometimes it requires somebody else to mm-hmm. dream your best dream for you because of the barriers you have in front of you.
Yeah, that's a really fun part of my job, actually, because I hold the belief for the person until they can start to have tiny steps to believe it. Mm-hmm. And when someone comes to me and tells me something that's really big or like it's been on their mind and they're just like, I'm the first person they tell, that's such a gift for me. Mm. But then also I just don't ever have any hesitation that they're going to reach it. Yeah. I just see them as the person that's already done it. Mm-hmm. And now we're just going to move backwards and get there.
Yeah.
It's really fun. And you know, no one's really brought anything that's been like, oh, you're not going to do that.
Mm. That's awesome. I feel like I've had some enlightenment professionally in the last, I don't know, probably 12 to 18 months where, you know, I've been in roles, whether it's been as a teacher coach, as a principal or as an executive director, where there's a lot of benchmarks you work your way towards and projects to get done and metrics and numbers to hit. And I've kind of always felt myself not being a scorekeeper, but being the guy that's just ready to go on to the next thing. And I've probably had this very probably shallow and false belief that, hey, I'm going to hire great people and then let them just do their thing. And what I've realized in I think my journey in leadership, while I think there was a lot of blessings and things that I did well, I'm not sure I dreamed enough for the people that I led. Mm-hmm. And I'm recognizing that now as an opportunity, as I've kind of changed some gears in my career. And there's some people here, even within the ministry, that I'm getting a chance to kind of walk alongside and kind of do life with and lead, in their capacities. And I've found that I want to be able to do that with and for them, is dream for them what I see as the best version of them, because they're already doing some awesome things. Mm-hmm. But then be able to help them see that best version of themselves and start taking those steps to get there, so that they can lead the people that are under them in a much more healthy and consistent way.
Yeah. And I think that, because like when you're talking about that and you're talking about benchmarks, I always think, you know, people think that with coaching, it's just like growth benchmarks or like, what's the next thing I have to do? And the angle I always take with my clients is like, who is the person that you're going to have to become? Mm-hmm. And when we talk about who they are as a person and what kind of qualities they have, those things that they need to do come naturally. That's, and it's awesome. So much easier that way.
Right.
Otherwise people are just white knuckling doing like the next task, and that never works.
Do you have any good stories about people that got in a spin cycle that you really struggled to shake them out of that spin cycle?
Yeah.
probably a pretty decent list.
I mean, I think that's the journey of everybody who kind of enters coaching at first, mm-hmm. because their brain is being challenged to think in a more disciplined way. So it's easy to get back into the spiral until I've really taught them the disciplines of the brain. Mm-hmm. And then they're much more likely to stay out of the spin cycle and move forward.
And so one of the things that I've shared with people through this change in my role and what I do here at Messiah, like, people want to see me as the money guy. And and that's it's a fruit of what I want to be a part of. But for me, it's so much more about helping people understand what God wants for their heart and what he wants for them through the fruit of that in their lives, how they're going to choose to interact with others, how they're going to serve in the church, and how they're going to maybe support through their generosity. And I think I see Satan in the weeds spinning the cycle for people. Like, if I can keep people spinning the wrong way, I'm actually keeping them from who God might be able to use them as in life and making an impact in the kingdom. If I keep them in the spin cycle, mm-hmm. Maybe talk about how, when people do get disciplined and how they make those steps to kind of get in a better headspace and a view of themselves and maybe on a more controlled path, so to speak, what does that do for their opportunity to be a, not only a better version of themselves, maybe a better parent, a better leader at work, a better worker, but even as Christians, a person that's more available to both receive and to share ministry.
Well, yeah, when you talk about the devil, like, one of the messages he tries to give us is, you don't have enough. Mm-hmm. You don't have enough. You're going to struggle. And so just even eliminating that, because when a person believes that they always have enough, and it's not really about like tangible things like right. money and houses and cars, it's just like, when you have the belief that you always have enough because you have Christ, then that obviously opens up your heart to be able to be available to people and to give and to never be worried about yourself because you don't have the thing in your brain that's going, I don't have enough.
Right.
Because then what's playing in your head is, I always have enough, and who can I give it to?
Yeah. Wow. And just that ability to be in a position of trust. Like, I trust what God's doing in my life. I trust him for what's coming next, and I don't have to feel like I'm in control of that necessarily. You know, I would guess in your space, you want to be putting layers in place to feel like you're building disciplines. But ultimately, if you're in a place where you also trust God for the bigger picture, it's a lot easier to step into some of those new disciplines because you're not worried about other things.
Well, yeah. And we have a lot of, you know, examples from the Bible about disciplines. I mean, Jesus is the one who would get up early to pray. Mm. So we already know that discipline is kind of the way to freedom, especially with our hearts.
Yeah, I love that. I love that a lot. So you kind of talked a little bit about this earlier, some of the growth mindset. Like, who do you believe would most benefit from life coaching, from the perspective of, if I'm listening to this show and I'm wondering at all, boy, would that benefit me? Give a couple of just really good examples of the types of people that you see have just really flourished because of life coaching.
You know, I think the person who lays in bed at night and says, gosh, I just need to get it together. Like there's things that they want to do. They're like, if I could just do this, then I could do that. If I could just, you know, get up in the morning and, or if I could just, you know, speak more articulate to my boss and I could get a raise. It's just the people who know that they have more inside of them and they just aren't quite sure of the path of how to do that. Those are the people.
Kind of that, you're feeling that tapping on the shoulder that there's a higher ceiling. There's more that can happen. But almost like you're creating your own natural barriers to be able to jump
and,
over them.
And those people are always creating their natural barriers.
Gotcha.
So it's the people who are like, is this it?
Yeah.
Is this all I'm doing in my life? So I tend to work with people who are like, you know, 30 to 60 who are just kind of like, I want to do more. Mm-hmm.
What's the youngest client you've ever worked with?
10.
Okay.
Yeah. 10. He was having some, you know, bullies on the basketball court mm-hmm. that were really bullying him. And he wanted to figure out what to do with them. And his mom, I had coached his mom previously. And so she's like, you just got to talk to Misty. We did 2 sessions and he was fine.
That's awesome.
Like he was able to overcome that whole bully situation.
Does that mean that when we're younger, we're more moldable?
Yes. I think everybody needs to get in coaching when they're like 10. So we don't learn those horrible thought patterns that we get, you know, involved in. Yeah.
I mean, it's so easy to convince ourselves of things that just have no truth. But like you said earlier, we say them to ourselves enough. Mm-hmm. And we choose to define a really bad reality. Oldest client you've worked with?
70. Okay. I'm working with her right now.
That's awesome.
She wants to have a better relationship with her family and her brother. And she lost her husband unexpectedly 3 years ago. So just kind of like walking through grief in a more useful way was one of the things that she wanted to do. Because she knew that she had a lot of life left and she didn't want to spend all of her days being sad. So she's just been such a joy to work with.
That's pretty awesome. That mention of family, you know, gets me to think about, I've got a kid getting married this year. And, you start launching some of your kids to college and that kind of thing. You start really getting a perspective on like, what have I taught? Mm. What have I shared? Maybe worst case scenario, what have they picked up from me mm-hmm. in terms of habits or mindsets or, narratives and that kind of thing. When you think about parents and that idea of getting your kids into a healthy space, even from a self reflection perspective, anything you'd maybe encourage parents as they think about raising kids and getting ready to launch and that whole process of helping them be healthy, prepared young people that will soon be adults in the world. What can we do as parents to really work hard, maybe watch for things mm-hmm. in our kids that maybe are unhealthy mindsets and things like that?
You know, a lot of parents, myself included, like we want to tell our kids what to do. Mm-hmm. And we just want to beat it into them. But what I've, you know, really come to see as being most useful is like, how can I show my kids how to live? Mm. Like what can be my daily practices that they see what the fruits of it in my life and they want to emulate it. And like a really cool story, and this is not to toot my own horn at all. This is just like, I'm just so proud of my little kids. They're 10 and 12. Mm. And this year, me and Lily decided to do the Bible recap plan. I don't know if you've ever heard of it with Tara Lee Cobble. It's like, it's a chronological plan, but then at the end of reading for each day, you go into the app and you watch a short video about kind of like what you read. And and so, you know, I've read through the Bible a lot of times, but I've never done her plan. So me and Lily were going to start, she's my 18-year-old. And then Vivi and Esme, my 10 and 12-year-old, like, we want to do it too. And I was like, okay, great. You know, and I thought they'll drop off.
Yeah.
It's July 2nd. They're still
rocking it.
They're still doing it. And, you know, I could have said, you girls need to read your Bible every single day.
Yeah.
And they probably wouldn't have done it, mm-hmm. but they've seen me read my Bible every single day for, you know, decades. Yeah. And so that just makes me, you know, show your kids how to live.
That's awesome.
And show your kids how to save and show your kids how to tithe. And then they're going to be more likely to do it from a place, like a different place in mm-hmm. their heart.
They see a healthy version of something. And I think we're drawn to that naturally when mm-hmm. we see something going well. And maybe that speaks to the wisdom of if you are in some kind of a spin cycle, taking the steps to get out of it, whether it's through life coach or another means of doing it, because when we're more healthy and available for the people around us, our impact just becomes that much greater in terms of how we can help those that are in our direct influence be as healthy as they could possibly be too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think sometimes even as parents, it's like you almost fear like the worst version of yourself finding its way into one of your kids, you know, and it's like, oh no, don't become, you know, don't have the same maybe tripping hazards that I've had as a parent.
And but I think even when they do, if they've observed something, you know, poor in me, that opens up a, like a very good conversation of like more transparency and more authenticity in the relationship of like, listen, this is what I did and this is what happened. And this is how it like hurt me or hurt this person. And then I think that also is just as useful.
Yeah. And I think being able to, I'm thinking now of even the marriage relationship, having that ability to speak in a, on a level playing field with common terminology and from the same place, is a powerful thing in terms of, as you sit down as a couple and set goals and those kinds of things. Like, so for Sarah and I, we're kind of technically empty nesters, although our middle is back in our house for a week because she's changing places that she's living, and our youngest is still home some in the summer and that kind of thing. But we've had to start stepping into this place of, all right, so now what are we going to like, what's our boat now, you know? And we've had some things that kind of fit a narrative and a rhythm, but there's also been part of the season where it's like, we got to find our thing together. And so I think about not only those families that are, they're going through that kind of transition where to be able to have a really healthy conversation around that and be able to set goals like, hey, we want to either travel or it's important to us to learn how to serve together. So we're going to kind of find something to do together that'll be part of our rhythm. Mm-hmm. But the other cool part that I just love hearing the people that have, the couples that have really gotten into a healthy space. And this is something that I find is valuable, important, and I think super healthy in a marriage is to be able to, as you start thinking about estate planning and those kinds of things, being able to have very real conversations around what's important to you and why, who do we want to bless through what God has provided us, what are our goals in that process, and then actually having a plan with it, which statistics would say a lot of people don't go there. Either they don't want to get into that conversation or it's so far down on the totem pole, or it doesn't get done. Like, they don't make it a priority. And I think there's a lot of things like that in life in terms of setting goals that we tend to just let them sit on a shelf, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And I guess I'm kind of wondering, even from a life coaching perspective, do you uncover those, like people actually have maybe goals they don't even realize that they've set on a shelf and haven't touched for years? Or how does that look in terms of helping people like take that out, look at it and get to the bottom of it?
Yeah, people do. They accidentally tell me things that they think is not important. And they're like, well, that's for 10 years down the road. And it's like, okay, well, if that's for 10 years down the road, what do you need to be doing now? What's today towards that goal? And yeah, people put off things like estate planning, wills, all that stuff. And if they I just had a guy 2 weeks ago say, like, yeah, I just really got to get my will done with like who gets my house. And I was like, well, guess you're getting that done by next week. And he did. And he'd been putting it off I told him, I bet it's going to take you 10 minutes. Yeah. I was like, time it when you start. And he came back. He's like, you were right.
That's awesome.
10 minutes.
So all he needed was Misty's voice in the back of his head saying, yes. Are you done with that yet? Is your goal done? Mm-hmm. That's outstanding.
You know, because we just do that in our brain. We're like, this is going to be so hard. And we just dread it. And we procrastinate on it. And it's just like, I had another guy who didn't want to call his new CPA. He's like, I've just been dragging my feet on my taxes. And he's a business owner. I was like, oh no. Oh no. I was like, as soon as this call is over, you're picking up the phone and you're calling the CPA and you're going to tell me right when you get done. And he did it. And he's like, yeah, it wasn't that bad.
That's outstanding. So you almost get to be like the voice of mom in their life saying, it's time to get this done.
Sometimes people just need someone to kick them in the pants. Yeah. That's not in their family, and I will do it.
That's outstanding. Well, as you think about just, you know, somebody that might be listening today, you know, in terms of the world of life coaching, any kind of, as we kind of wind down here, any words of encouragement or wisdom that you'd like to kind of leave with the listener in terms of just that whole space of kind of what you do to bless people and help them be better?
You know, I'm going to go back for what I want to leave with everybody to just changing that belief that the person doesn't have enough, and just offering to everybody to think, like, if I believed I had enough today, what would I give or what would I do? And I think that even if it's a micro step, it's going to start to change that feeling inside, and people will probably feel less constricted and just more free. And then like so much more of the world's going to open up for them. So I think that's kind awesome. Of what I want to leave people with.
I love that. It reminds me of a phrase I've used on the show a few times, is helping people understand that they're rich enough to be generous, not necessarily with money, but with who they are. Like, there's so much you have to offer the world, whether it's your wisdom, your expertise, your time, And we often make excuses for not spending that equity that we have in our life. So I love that, just believing in yourself enough to know that there's so much more that you can be and offer the world.
Well, it says somewhere in the Bible, and somebody will have to Google it, but it says like, spend your life on people. Mm. So it's like, it doesn't even have to be money.
Right. 100%. Investing in others.
It's just, yeah, spending your life on someone.
That's outstanding.
It's just so much deeper.
And it can be as simple as writing an encouraging note that somebody didn't see coming, or taking the time to speak truth that maybe you could have just chosen not to share with somebody. Mm-hmm. And I will use the example that I shared a little earlier. It's the, I have made a conscious decision that I want to be a reservoir, not a well. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to have that opportunity to pour into people and share what I have, and not just keep it to myself. And, in my role, whatever it looks like, and this is a mindset for me, is always seeing the best version of the person, whether I'm directly leading them or whether I just interact with them. It's like, how can my interaction with them help them, be the best, help it be the best part of their day, or, help them learn something through it, where, you know, just by me either treating them kindly or whatever that looks like, it can be so simple, and yet it can be so impacting on the people around us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've learned that as a coach too. People will say, remember 2 years ago when you said this to me, and I don't remember it all, but they're like, that changed my life, or that had such right. a big impact. So it really does. Like, our words really are impactful, and it doesn't take much.
That's powerful. Well, Misty, I really appreciate you being on the show today. I always like to leave our listeners with a prayer and just kind of pray into them, you know, part of what we talked about today. So I'm going to do that, and then we'll close it out. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time talking to Misty, and for those that might be listening today, Lord, hopefully if there's somebody that's having their shoulder tapped on right now, and that you've maybe stirred some thoughts in them about, hey, there's maybe something more I have to offer. There's maybe something more I want to chase or pursue, or there's a version of myself that I can't quite see, but I think it's in there. Lord, we encourage that you to move in them the opportunity to reach out to somebody like Misty that can have those conversations and dream for them and dream with them, and then create some accountability and some structure in their life to start really becoming refined and that person that you're calling them to be. So Lord, we just thank you in advance for how you're going to work in and through that, and just pray that you just provide just some awesome blessing to our listeners today. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Misty, I really appreciate you being with us today. Anything you want to leave the listeners with? Any final names you need to drop before we say goodbye,
you know,
to the show?
I was so impacted at Lincoln Lutheran, and my two best friends there, Mike and Heidi.
That's all you need to say.
That's all I need to say.
Well done. Well, until next time, we're going to challenge you to start living.
Thank you for tuning in to Stop Chasing, Start Living. This has been a production of Messiah Lutheran Ministries. Make sure you subscribe to Messiah Lutheran on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen, so you never miss an episode. Want to learn more about Messiah Ministries? Visit us at messiah.us. Our goal is to be a resource to you as you grow in your relationship with Christ and in your generosity. If you would like to connect with Scott, please send an email to scott.ernstmeyer@messiah.us. Thanks again for listening. Now let's start living.